Fort Max, how you been, man? I haven't talked to you since BotCon.
Yes, you have.
Have I been on since BotCon?
Yes.
I didn't think I talked to you since then. Okay.
It may be confusing you with JD's impression of you.
Oh, gee, thanks.
This is Superhero Time with Paladin.
Bullshit.
Ken.
God, somebody shoot me.
And Fort Max.
I feel so honored.
With special guest.
This is seriously the dumbest shit.
And.
Nope, as long as they don't say the word pirate, they're not pirates.
And.
Oh god, why do I know that?
And.
I had no idea. I thought she was like 2021 or something.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Superhero Time Auxiliary Edition. Because the regular members have wimped out and decided not to do a show this week, I pulled together a backup team for everyone.
Yay.
All right.
And I apologize for nothing.
We'll work on that.
Yeah. We are the Legion of Substitute Superhero Time Hosts.
With me are the regulars, Fort Max and Ken.
Hi.
Our frequent guest correspondents, Headmaster Don.
Hello, everybody.
Barricade.
Hello.
Giga Beetle, of course.
Hello.
And our special guest this week is here to prove to us why Power Rangers sucks and why he hates us now because I made him watch some of it. Mr. Heng Yip Chan, welcome.
Hello, hi guys.
So, the biggest piece of news from this past week, I believe, is the return of Hiroshi Fujioka as Kamen Rider 1 in the Heisei vs.
Yeah!
War.
Yeah!
Yes.
I cried when he died, seriously.
Well, he can come back now.
He already did come back.
I'm guessing a Lazarus Pit was involved, or...
He is too awesome for the Lazarus Pit. But this will be the first time in 38 years that he has picked up the belt and actually transformed on screen.
Wow.
That's almost as long as Ken's been alive.
I think the last time he actually was on screen as Hongo may have been Sky Rider.
When he came along to beat up Sky Rider?
Wasn't it Stronger? Because Sky Rider's main guests were usually Nigo and Super... Oh no, and V3, I think?
Well, they had... I think Fujioka was in like one or two episodes of it.
Okay. Do we count the Ultraman versus Kamen Rider thing, where they kind of push him into a double combination with the original Ultraman?
Unfortunately, I don't think.
Well, that wasn't Fujioka.
He did also voice the character back in 2011 for Let's Go Kamen Rider, but again, he wasn't really on set for any of that.
Now, and he was in Agito, but not as. Hongo.
That's true. He was in the movie.
Yeah.
And he was in Rescue Force or Rescue Fire?
Rescue Fire. He was the hit honcho. Oh god, why do I know that?
Because that's why you're here.
Yeah, R0, right?
Yeah. So, I actually managed to get around watching Rescue Force and Rescue Fire, and I'm quite surprised I didn't watch it before when it first came up.
Yeah, we've seen some of that. It's not necessarily a bad show.
No. I don't know.
The biggest problem with Rescue Force and Rescue Fire is they're the things that came after Ryu Kendo.
Fair enough.
So we have Kamen Rider 1, Joker, Cade, Fies,
and X. We have X.
So that's 5 returning actors. That's way more than they'd usually get for a movie like this. Especially with the older veterans.
The fact that they got 5s is kind of a miracle considering he's retired from acting.
I thought that was Kaiser.
No, well, the actor 5s gave up on acting and now does mostly stage or musicals. He's not on television anymore.
But it is Fies' 10th anniversary, right? And they seem to be pushing that because they think people like Fies for some reason.
Japan does like Fies.
Yeah. Yep. Well, see,
It's kind of like how Japan also likes Gundam Seed.
No, it's not necessarily Gundam Seed. It's that they like Gundam Seed Destiny. They fucking love Destiny.
Why? It's horrible.
I don't know, but Japan loves it. Shit, I don't understand it at all. Liking Gundam Seed is fine, but Destiny, no.
And Japan is also kind of meh on G Gundam, which I don't understand at all either.
No fucking
shit. Sorry, by your tongue, G Gundam is awesome.
Yes. Well, so, you know, yes. It's, you know, Fize is my favorite looking rider and my favorite henchman, and I've got most of the DX
gear. Yeah, the Fize design is awesome. All the gear is awesome.
The show is so beast machine that it takes forever to
And it's kind of terrible.
I'm about 8 episodes into it, and it's all right so far, though I suspect it's not going to stay that way.
People in Beast Machines actually talked with each other.
It's about after episode 8 it actually takes a turn for the worse. On the other hand, I have a friend who thinks it's his favorite show, so what do I know?
Or hell, maybe he's just showing up to push those Fize Blu-rays.
Friggin' upscales.
That's actually what he just does.
They're upscaling Fives when they could be remastering Kuga. Don't get me started on Kuga's Masters. That show was filmed in was shot in HD.
Was it? Was it shot in HD?
Kuga was shot in 1080i, just like Hibiki was. However, it was edited letterboxed in standard definition.
Well, maybe for its 20th anniversary.
If they can keep them, if they can find the masters, then that would be brilliant. Because you would have to crop it pretty badly to make it 4:3. Then
how big?
No, it was it wasn't cropped. It was letterboxed.
Oh wow, that's even worse.
Now, Agito through Blade were shot in standard definition.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the DVDs are pretty much the. The DVDs probably actually are going to give you a better quality than the upscale Blu-rays.
Well, if they're the typical price of a Japanese video release, no, because I mean it's like 10 years ago, Galkagar OVAs were running about $60 for a 30-minute OVA. It hasn't gotten any better since then.
I'd look for video to compare, but unfortunately YouTube did another massive crackdown this week, so most of the stuff I had bookmarked is gone.
Yeah, well, actually, part of the reason that Kuga was shot in HD was specifically so that Toei could go back and re-edit the entire thing in HD sometime later on.
Which is a shame that they haven't done it then.
Yeah, I know. They've been editing Rider in HD since Hibiki.
See, I really liked Hibiki till they changed production team.
Yeah.
So, like, the first 30 episodes of it?
Until Inoue.
It's like, we can't sell toys. Let's change the storyline to be more kid-friendly.
I'm afraid the only Hibiki experience I have is the decayed version.
Nothing like the real series. That episode was kind of awesome for the rock finish.
Well, actually, the thing is that the decayed episodes used a lot of stuff that was dropped from the original version, from how the series was originally going to end.
Didn't they actually bring back an actor or two from Hibiki for that?
What's her name, the actress?
Sorry, go ahead, Giga.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, they basically brought back everyone but the two leads, when you think about it. They didn't bring back Asumu, the original Asumu, and they didn't bring back the original Hibiki. But you get Zanki, Todoroki, Akira, and Ibuki. All the original actors are back.
So that was a good last hurrah for Hibiki, then, even if it was stuck in Decade.
Yeah. Hey. Decade was fine up until they screwed up the ending.
What ending?
Exactly.
They screwed up the ending and then made the movie pick up from a fake ending that had no reason being there.
And now from the sound of Heisei vs. Showa, they may have yet another fake ending, because the head writer for that was also the head writer for Decade.
Which head writer?
The first one?
Let me look it up just a minute. I'm not remembering.
But I was going to say, isn't the Heisei vs. Showa being written by Yonemura? Well, by the guy who did Kabuto?
Oh, no. As much as I love Kabuto, that guy can't write anything else.
I liked the beginning of Kabuto, and then it kind of just went downhill near the end, near the two-third mark, I think.
About when Dark Kabuto shows up, yeah, it starts getting a bit bad.
And yeah, considering this guy's last year-long series was Smile Precure.
Hey, that's good.
Yanemura. No, it's fucking not. Do not talk to me about Yanemura.
Written by Yone, yeah. Oh, let's go Rider, Kamen Rider. That's not a good sign.
No,
yes.
No, it's not. Fuck.
And it's still supposed to be featuring Super Sentai at some point, so I'm not entirely sure how this is going to go down.
Badly.
I heard let's just go with that. Liked it better than Super
I think
Hero
they
Wars.
May Sentai may have less of a appearance in this than Kaku Ranger did in O-Ranger versus Kaku Ranger.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I just like the fact that the rest of the Kaku Ranger turn up at the end of it, and you only really get red and white representing them for the rest of the movie.
Well, that isn't that kind of what happened with our In Space and Lost Galaxy, that the rest of the In Space team doesn't show up to like the last 5 minutes to fight.
Kind of.
But that was still like a quarter of the episode.
Well, they,
and then the entire
didn't
next
they
episode.
Just show up? Well, didn't the others show up at the end of the first episode of it?
Yeah.
And you had like one episode, and you had a full episode with the entire cast the whole way through.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Until one of them died. Spoiler.
It was Lightspeed and Lost Galaxies where most of the cast is for Lost Galaxy doesn't turn up till the end, isn't it?
Right. And they hated that.
Well,
which is why half of them walked off the set during filming.
By half is Red walked off the set, after filming, but shortly after the ADR was started.
Oh, Savon, you're so cheap.
Okay, trying to pull things back on track. Unfortunately,
no.
This week we
Don't.
Have to report the death of famous voice actor Saizo Katu, who was the General Jark in Black RX, better known as Count Dragon to Americans.
And also reprised that role in Let's Go Kamen Riders.
And the great Satan of Kyoru Sentai Zero Ranger.
And he was also one of the villains in either Changeman or Flashman.
He was in Changeman, Maskman, and Car Ranger.
Yeah.
And he was the Japanese voice of Megatron and Galvatron.
So another classic voice actor has left us.
He'll be deeply missed because he had such an influential resume. But now on, I was going to say happier note, but I don't think that applies here. The super imaginative Chogokin series is apparently skipping Forze and going straight to Wizard.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Because SIC is not my favorite aesthetic other than Taja Doru, which looks incredibly awesome in the SIC design.
And however, it does look like Love, Love, Love combo SIC may actually be happening.
Which is disturbing on so many ways.
That's almost as disturbing as Optimus Prime peeking at Ty in the bath.
It's not as disturbing as the sadly not act as the... It's not as disturbing as SIC Fudokan, which sadly was not actually released.
I'm sure they'll get around to Forze someday. Maybe they just need some extra time to figure it out.
Yeah.
Just go steampunk like they did with Wingform.
Make it look like Russian cosmonauts.
No.
Well, what's this? A taped-on air tank? Good job.
I have to admit, SIC to me was always good with the Showa writers because they really brought up how awesome the bug motif was in that period.
Kind of when modernized they pushed
it. Sadly, we have not had any word of SIC Shin.
Well, he was in the late SIC Hero Saga, wasn't he? Like, prominently featured.
Yeah, he was. Like, you're right.
So how different would they have to make Shin anyway?
Yeah. And honestly, act from Double.
Well, it's...
I mean, with Decade, they did the end a little after as a web exclusive. I mean, I think in time, Axel would, with how they usually do, as I've understood it, he would be released somewhere around now, after the main series has ended, of SICs.
Shin?
Maybe. I haven't seen anything... Well, I don't really follow SIC now that I think about it. So, not much comment on that.
Outside of the quality of Wizard, the design actually takes pretty well to SIC.
And it'll obviously translate well because all his power forms are just repaints.
It should also be better than the figure arts with any luck.
Well, it's still just Wizard. But we are also getting SIC Ankh and Mizzou.
Yep.
We're pretty much just statues from the looks of it.
And pretty much just the show designs.
So it's pretty much their version. It's SIC Zero, pretty much.
Yeah, Uva was a Zero also, so I think the greeds being all Zeros.
The problem that I have with
sense.
The SIC greed is that they haven't been SIC'd up enough. Like they did with the... with O's himself, so...
That may not be a good thing, because I'll be honest for it, Max. The only SIC I own is a small Ultra Vigen that falls apart whenever I transform it, and Taj Adoru, because their aesthetic can vary wildly from character to character. Like, I looked at Puto Terra. That looks terrible in the SIC version, but Taj Adoru looks great.
Well, Puto Terra's design is kind of a mess anyway.
I agree with Fort Max. I would have liked them to take the greeds sort of in the direction they did with the first SIC Kuga. All weird.
That would have looked good, actually.
Now, I mean,
so to that.
Yeah. Uva looks good, but it's like
it's still just a statue. So what's the point?
And plus, Uva looks well. With just doing plain old Uva is that
it's plain
Uva.
Old Uva. The most boring one of the Greek.
Fine. Even at his most interesting, he was still incredibly boring with an incredibly boring plan.
You mean he was a cell metal hanging around? Just on some
is that he essentially had a tele... Is that he essentially employed a telemarketing office?
I will say one thing I'm looking forward to with the SIC Wizard is that of all Wizard's costumes, I think I like Infinity the best, other than his standard flame style. And maybe with the right kind of plastics, Infinity could be a really awesome-looking figure.
Yeah.
Although when it comes to the greed, I would definitely be amused by an SIC Dr. Maki.
Especially if we got SIC Maki's doll.
Oh. Can you imagine that? Life size, so you can put it on your shoulder and you do your cosplay things with conventions.
No, SIC's Maki's doll would need to be even more creepy than it already is.
Well, why not just get an SIC blanking on his name. Chairman.
Kogami?
Kogami, boss. Thank you. I would buy an SIC Kogami with feather boa.
Happy boss there.
I'm very okay with this.
That's frightening on several levels.
Kind of a little record player and a birthday cake.
Only Dawn could come up with an idea like this.
Yeah, I think outside the box.
That's the frightening part of all of it.
I think it's weird. In that one drawing we have of SIC Wizard, his gun doesn't seem to actually transform. It's just, well, based on that one drawing, it's just a blade attached to a gun. Which is kind of disappointing, I think.
Isn't that Wizard's...
regular release?
Well, that's pretty much what Wizard's sword is. It's a blade attached to a gun, or a gun attached to a blade.
No.
So he's Squall from Final Fantasy.
It's very much what is from Final Fantasy, but Wizard's gun was
kind
of very different from that. What?
Not enough belts.
Not enough belts, I'm sorry.
Oh, great. Rob Liefeld is now working for SIC.
What?
That's pouches.
If it was covered in pouches and didn't and had its feet hiding behind something, sure. But I'm saying it does that the SIC wizard doesn't have enough belts to be from Final Fantasy.
Oh, fair enough. Yes, yes, I understand.
If Fort Max hits the nail right on the head.
And on to merchandise that was actually released this week. The Genesis Driver and Sonic Arrow came out around the same time frame of our last show, but now we have the Lemon Energy and Cherry Energy lock seeds out. I really love the sounds they make in the Genesis Driver.
Soda!
Now, hang on. Is that soda? Is what we're seeing the subtitled actually what they're saying for soda?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I just was wondering. I didn't know.
Soda.
And we did get to see a possible preview of the upcoming upgrade lock seed for Gaim, which is tentatively called Kachidoki Arms.
Byzantite.
And this is what gives him that weapon we saw a couple weeks ago, the DJ gun.
I like it. It's weird, and all the fruit motifs make me think of how the Hyper Sector had all the sectors attached to it. All fruit combine.
Basically, it's a fruit cocktail.
Fruit salad!
And pine cone.
Well, who doesn't want pine cone in their fruit salad?
No, you're right. I'm an idiot.
I just have someone that doesn't want to toss his salad.
Oh my god. Dawn.
Really?
Really?
Sorry.
Sorry.
Well, that is hardly the worst thing you'll hear tonight.
It's the first worst thing I've heard tonight.
Yeah, it wasn't a train pun.
I've never heard one of those.
I'm sure we'll derail later.
Yeah. Off a cliff. Hey,
you could have gone with train wreck. Nah, you went off a cliff. Good job.
There was also
compared to me, his puns are still in training.
Oh!
Oh!
Let's get back on track, though.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
There was one other news that we got email. Those of us getting the Sailor Moon figure arts, Mars has been delayed till February.
And I can't pay for it now anyway.
And then it also appears that we will be getting Venus before Jupiter, which kind of breaks up the...
This has been known.
We don't know why, though. It's
yeah.
As long as they actually do release Jupiter, Venus, I don't see them stopping after 4, because they're selling pretty well, aren't they?
Because Venus is more popular. Simple.
I thought it was because Jupiter is taller, they have to rework the female mold.
Well, actually, they've been doing that with every figure since, because Mercury is a different height from Moon. So they've been doing that with every figure anyway.
Yeah, and with, what's her name? Mars? They just dumped her neck and it was weird. So weird.
That was kind of a disappointment.
And the last bit of news we have for this week is Power Rangers Super Megaforce premieres on February 15th. Which means it starts within hours of Tokyuger starting.
Yay?
That's kind of weird.
There's also pictures up of everybody helmetless, and oh my god. Why did they... Just considering the Sentai footage and how the suit actor acts, Noah, between Gosei Blue and Gokai Blue, is the most ill-fitting person for that role. But
yeah.
Blue Ranger, they wanted to make him a Billy.
It just doesn't work at all. I'm sorry.
He's just stumbling around by themselves out of costume and then, you know, is just suddenly this super badass when they transform.
Yeah, I know I loved Gokaidra and a series really deserves to stand or fall by its own merits, but yeah, this just isn't holding up for me.
I still don't see the logic of putting, like, Megaforce and Super Megaforce, combining it with Goseiji and Gokaija, two totally unrelated series, because so much toys to try to sell, it wouldn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And And also, I was looking today at Target, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll try and get some of the Ranger keys. And I say, oh, they're $12.99 a pack for three. That's more than freaking Japan charge for five packs.
Yeah, I saw those at Target, too. Yeah, it was like... Yeah.
It's kind of nuts.
I mean, is there, I could get a five pack with an entire team in it, you know, including the girls, with bigger keys for like $10 or less when they were coming out of Japan.
Yeah, but isn't comparing that kind of two very different beasts? I mean, there's years apart. Yeah, definitely. But they're years apart, and it's you're comparing American toys in America to
that are usually cheaper.
Yeah, okay. I just
they're usually considerably cheaper.
Okay, I don't know these things.
You buy all this stuff all the time.
I don't know how much a figure art cost. I don't know anything.
He just said, here's my credit card.
No, he just goes to the website and says, take all my money.
That explains a lot, actually.
Well, and also the thing of it is, even if they release the female figures and the keys, if they even do that, they'll be short packed because in the
they wouldn't be, because if they did it right, they would come with the rest of the teams instead of just being the three guys.
I see no reason why they need to break up the keys like that. They could easily justify $30 for five of them.
I guess those little pieces of metal in the springs really jumps the cost up for Bandai America.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was being sarcastic anyway.
Yeah, but it's. I mean, it's the whole thing's kind of bullshit.
Yeah, it's just like. And on top of that, has anyone else seen the little auxiliaries? Not the Zords that add on to Gokai-O's.
The bikes.
No, the little mech suits. Like it's like.
Oh yeah, we talked about.
Yeah,
that
we
one.
Talked about them last week.
Oh god,
it looks pretty terrible.
It's like someone took ExoSquad and said...
Just a minute, I'll see if I can find the link.
Yeah. It's like someone said, well, make them like ExoSquad, but with no charm and no fun. It's like, the hell? This thing's a brick.
That's it.
You should be okay with bricks.
Yeah, I have Brave.
I admit Bandai is free to conduct themselves any way they want, but I understand why people are not all aboard for this.
Nice.
No, stop.
I will end you, Paladin.
Never stop.
Okay, what is this? What are you showing me?
Exactly.
That is Bandai America's... that's their additional stuff other than just changing what we got.
That is the Zord Armor Ranger.
Is that the Gosei Great, but in blue?
Yes, it is. We discussed this last week, in fact, I believe.
I like the part where he puts on the helmet. I like the part where he puts on the helmet, but he gets a double shin, actually.
He's getting fatter by the second.
Yeah, this is not a great look, dude.
Yeah.
No.
I can't imagine this flying off the shelves.
Not what they haven't been. I mean, none of the Super Megaforce stuff has been moving at my Target.
I don't even think I've seen it around here.
Yeah, well, I mean, all of the same stuff. I mean, literally all of the same stuff for both that and Digimon Fusion have been sitting for at least 2 weeks, and not a single one of them has moved.
I can say that in my Target, the Digimon Fusion got restocked because I got Shoutmon, Ballistamon, and Darurumon, and 3 days later, a whole new case went out to the shelf.
Oh yeah, so that's because you bought them. Not because somebody else bought them.
I'm just saying.
John.
I've been thinking about grabbing Greymon and Male Bergermon, but I just can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah, the prices for them aren't bad. It's like $9 a figure. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's just that as much as this complaint is made fun of, the hollow parts.
Oh, they're hollow?
Oh, well, yeah, take a look at them.
Yeah, it's like the back of Shoutmon's legs is hollow, but, I mean... There's really no way, if you're a Digimon fan, to get Shoutmon Cross 4, which is basically his default for most of the show.
I can see why fans are cross about this, then.
No, stop.
Move on.
Until he drives you off the rails.
Oh,
it's hard to tame Paladin in his puns.
Move this train wreck forward. Come on.
He truly is the Punisher.
He hits contagious now. But yes, I think it's time to move the show along. To Gaim.
Chugging along.
Fruit ninjas, yay.
So, Ken, why don't you cover Gaim 13?
Yes, okay, let me pull this up. So, let's see, Gaim 13.
Probably a mistake since he's excited about it, but what the hell?
That would pretty much be any time I'm asked to do Gaim at this point.
And remember, so, none of us have watched 14 yet, so no spoilers.
Yeah, I know.
It hasn't been subbed yet.
I know.
Wait, are you talking to me?
Yes. Because you're
I think
I'm 14 by now.
Okay, so
he doesn't speak English translation to watch Gaim 14 by now.
Let's see here. Okay, last time Kota started to actually be kind of a hero, and Michi started to be kind of more of a dick. Meanwhile, in a hospital room, somebody is freaking the hell out as he is growing Helheim fruit from his chest.
Yeah.
It's an episode of Power Rangers Zeo.
This is an encouraging way to start.
Has anyone seen Creep Show?
I have.
Yeah, so I'm getting
meteor shit.
Yeah. So basically everything is not vine with him.
So meanwhile, Kota is being forced to make out a resume by his sister when she notifies him of a news report where it appears that people who have been attacked by Invis are coming down with some type of infection. Something that's really fucking bad. And of course Akira freaks out because she's like, weren't you kind of like all up in that crap?
I'm glad that the writers remembered he had a sister for this episode so she could move that plot along.
Yeah. Kota rushes off and fuck yes, Wizard is finally out of our opening. No, wait, that's this week. He's still in the opening this week. Shit.
Yes.
Okay. Well, he leaves it as of episode 14, so you should be glad for that anyway.
So, yay, no more movie footage in the damn opening.
Yes, finally. So, meanwhile, at Yggdrasil, Cid, Ryoma, and Takatora are having a conversation about the little epidemic they're having.
They mentioned that crack generation is up 12 times from last year, which means they've been working on this for an entire year, and nobody has really noticed until now.
You know, it starts small. And, of course, they have their ways of disposing about it. But then,
EJ Sagar?
Right, beaming in directly from the Matrix.
Yes. which is definitely something that throws you off. Why is he not actually talking to them?
Well, he's never
because he never leaves his DJ booth.
Yeah, he never leaves his DJ booth yet. Until apparently his first job is over, and he tells me
I found that really interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, he says that they're not really giving this kid enough credit. And
it's fitting that Sagar is the one who understands how much of a threat the beat writers can possess.
Yeah. He's like, you think you're just going to give up? And Yarmouth's just like, eh, whatever. Like, Ryoma just seems really bored in this scene. In general.
And Takatora just says naughty kids need to be punished.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So anyway, Hase is looking for Cid. Good luck with that, because he hasn't been there for a while.
And Hase is not doing really good.
And he assaults poor Goro-chan. Fucking...
Yeah, Hase is losing his shit.
Although Goro did try to force feed him, so I can understand why he's a little upset.
So Hase wanders around and starts hallucinating, seeing champion form is Invis.
And Bravo, because, you know...
Bravo, because Bravo and Zangetsu too, right?
Yeah.
Zangetsu was there, yeah.
Yeah, so all people that have kicked his ass, plus Invis. But he's
so literally everyone stronger than him.
Well, that's everybody in the show, though.
Except Radon, which I don't think is the only one he hallucinated.
Yeah. But he is losing his shit considerably. It's like a drug, actually. Actually, that seems pretty accurate assessment. Anyway, Takatora is at Charmont, meanwhile, and wants to speak to the pâtissier as he enjoys his cake. But he did not come for the cake. No, he came for a mercenary.
He came for Sergeant Oren Pierre Alphonse.
Yep.
Which immediately triggers a flashback, apparently.
Yeah. Meanwhile, at the hospital, Team Gaim goes and checks out, and it is a fucking mess. But of
and
course,
the hospital is named after a fruit.
Of course, but yes. Of course they had to come in wearing their Team Gaim clothes, which nearly starts a riot and everybody beating the shit out of them.
Isn't
because
that
they're
usually
being blamed for all these monsters?
Well, I don't think they own a second set of clothes.
Well, Coach does. I don't know if, and Mitchie has his school uniform.
I don't think it's appropriate to wear the Santa Claus outfit anymore, though.
A little past that time, but no.
Why not? Santa Chan wore it all the time.
For this children's television show aired at 8 a.m. directly before Precure, we have this horrifying scene in the hospital of everybody freaking out as plants are erupting from their bodies. Kids show, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. And I just love it. And I just love how the doctor just says, take a look at what you've caused.
And they also specifically point out that one of the victims was scratched by the Invest just last week.
Yep, the one that got slashed when Mitsuyase was trying to prevent him from actually transforming into Gaim. Meanwhile, Kaito is getting bitched at by the citizens for the very same reason. So he pulls out his best supervillain impersonation and starts to attack them with fucking Invis.
Not a good idea.
He is a little bit of a bastard.
A little bit, but then Bravo shows up to be a superhero and start kicking Baron's ass yet again. A recurring theme. One of Baron's members actually gets hurt, which causes him to retreat. But Bravo uses this
cut a promo?
There's a PSA.
I must admit, I didn't get the symbolism behind Bravo ordering the civilians to cheer until I watched this a second time. Because remember, what type of armor is Bravo wearing?
Gladiator.
No, what's
Gladiator.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He's encouraging the citizens to cheer for him so he can keep on fighting. This city is his personal coliseum.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And he uses his marketing prowess to push that right along.
As he sits there apparently drinking another glass of wine through his suit.
This is probably one of the most fantastic scenes in the series so far, I think.
He's going to re-educate the beat riders.
Starting with this one.
I was starting to like you again, and yet.
Yes. She thinks they should let themselves get caught so they can work and learn to make cakes.
If you want to learn to make cakes, just go to the Kogami Foundation.
Yeah,
that's where you go if you want to eat cakes.
I still think they need that bake-off.
Meanwhile, though, Mitchie comes to a conclusion that what if Yggdrasil started this game just to turn them into scapegoats when this stuff started to actually happen? Which is probably pretty accurate.
They don't even have to do anything. People just jump to conclusions.
They have their guinea pigs, and then they become the scapegoats when they're not needed for guinea pigging.
Without them even doing any work to make it happen. Kind of genius, actually. Meanwhile, the dragon Invis appears again and starts punching people in the face. Luckily, Kota comes in with a nice handy rider kick, and only a little bit, and starts to hesitate. And has that little X-Men problem of, you know, fighting to protect the people that hate and fear him.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that got that kind of vibe off that.
But before he can transform, Bravo appears again to beat the shit out of him, but he ignores the Invis, which Kota finds very confusing. It's like, seriously, but a man of his word.
Investors aren't in Bravo's contract.
Pierre is a professional. His contract only states that he fight the armored riders.
Which probably means he's only getting paid for the armored riders, too.
Yep. Dealing with those monsters is in my contract. And Kota has a nice moment then when he blocks his fucking sword with his arm. And it's like, no, you're not a hero. I understand exactly what the hell you are. He transforms, they fight, and he starts to get his ass kicked yet again. Until Kaito appears. And basically, Kaido's not really doing this for any altruistic means. He just wants to beat the shit out of Bravo.
Considering the number of times he's been on the receiving end of the beating, I can see that.
Yeah. So, Baron and Gaim team up finally and start...
No, they teamed up once before, the first time he had mango arms.
That's right. Well, they team up again. Regardless, this is a much more significant team up, it feels like. That was more of a... didn't have
working,
a choice. This is
on the fly, really.
Yeah, this is intentional. So they start beating the shit out of him, and then start beating the shit out of him even more when Baron tosses him the banana lock seat. So we get Gaim banana arms, finally, and they beat him. Barbo does escape.
Because his moose needs his attention now.
But then Baron and Gaim go looking
for... I like
for
that once again he has to run off because his bakery demands it.
Yes, so Baron and Gaim, after Kaito makes sure to get his fucking lock seed back, go looking
also
for...
Also, Gaim just hands him the spear from the banana arms and just runs away.
And they go looking for the dragon Envis, only to find a truck full of fruit. The dragon appears and eats some of the fruit, transforming into a giant CGI monster, but also Shingen Zangetsu is there too. They don't really have to do anything because Zangetsu makes short fucking work of that thing.
Hey kids, buy my toy!
Basically. and this looks like it's about to go from bad to worse, because then they're going to have to fight Zangetsu. Only then it gets even more terrible than that, because Hase is there and he loses his fucking mind, eats the fruit, and turns into a goddamn Invis.
Finally what? Confirmed!
Oh, and then there's next week. I will not say anything, but it's going to be a fun discussion next week. Because holy shit, this show.
You mean 2 days ago, really.
Well, that next week for us, ahead. Because we're not covering it until next episode.
Right.
Yeah, up soon.
This is what everyone called, like, 10 episodes ago. Eating the fruit of the Helheim Forest turns you into an Invis.
Yes, it does.
So, that pretty much confirms that's it for Yuya, doesn't it?
but regardless, this means that the writers have been killing a lot of people.
Yes. Just how much is it going to break Kota once he puts two and two together now?
Are we sure that all the Invis are former people, or does just eating the fruit turn people into Invis?
I'm not sure.
Wait. Maybe we shouldn't speculate more.
Yes, maybe we shouldn't.
Okay.
There'll be time for that next week.
Yes, let's not speculate.
But the important part is this was another awesome episode.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know where Gaim is fucking going after this episode and the next. And then the previews for 15. But I'm
oh my god.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Let's not go there yet.
No. This feels like it should be winding down already from the tone of the recent previews, and it's only 14 episodes in.
No, I don't think it's about ready to wind down at all.
Exactly.
It's the scary part.
The Ura Butcher has taken out his knife, hasn't he?
See, it's like, usually with Urobuchi, he does short series, 11, 12, 13 episode shows, and maybe Fate Zero, which was split into two 13 episode seasons. I have never seen something from him that is quite this long, so seeing to get him go full tilt for that long is kind of a frightening prospect.
I've only seen Madoka and Gargantia from him.
I've seen Madoka, Gargantia, a bit of Fate Zero, and a couple other things here and there, but yeah.
Well, he teased us all through interviews before Gaim started that he was going to build an interesting universe and then tear it down.
Yeah, I think he's still building. It's a scary thing.
Yes. I'm not sure what stage it's at right now, even.
But I think the safest thing for anybody to think is that do not get attached to anybody except maybe Gaim, and even that's going to be
don't get attached to anybody.
Yeah,
he's also said that with episode 14 kids aren't going to want to drink orange juice. Which could also be said about Evangelion.
Yeah, please don't get anything Eva in my writer. It's like the worst Reese's combination ever.
But you see, we've seen something like this with Ryuki. I mean, for those people who have watched Ryuki,
Well, and they did say they're using Ryuki as a big influence on this, so that's not a surprise.
It's not a big surprise that Urobucher is using Ryuki as an influence. Because, again, Madoka.
It's kind of cyclical that way, actually. Since Madoka is basically magical girl Ryuki.
But even at that, you sort of knew what was coming every other week in Ryuki. They were going to fight a rider. Here, we don't at all know what's going to happen.
No, you really don't know who's going to be fighting who by the time it's ended.
I mean, we assume it's monsters and riders that's going to be fought, but what could happen?
Well, even from the preview of this week, you can see that we get, you know, 4 new riders in 14, so...
The energy riders have finally come to the stage.
Oh, they have.
Including Sigurd, who, well, I'll talk a lot about that next week, probably.
It was weird how he turned out to be Kevin Bacon.
What? Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Makes that game much easier with Kamen Rider now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was obviously why they did it.
Clearly.
Hmm.
Oh, I need to stop before I say anything.
Yeah, kid, you want spill so bad. I can tell.
Well, clearly the rest of the world loves Gaim as much as us because the top-selling toys for January, at least the top 5, were all Gaim releases.
Whoa, really? Which ones? Wow.
Let's see. Genesis Driver, obviously. Sengoku Driver, Sonic Arrow, Musou Saber.
So everything, basically.
Yes.
Awesome.
Good job, Gaim.
And plus, the arms change figures are still stupidly popular.
You can't even find
them from the regular scalpers right now. They're that
like
popular.
Like I've been saying, so long as it does that well, that kind of does give me a good feeling that Urobuchi and whoever else is in charge is not going to get interrupted by anything in doing what they want to do.
As long as the toy sales keep up, they shouldn't be interrupting the show.
And apparently, and I think somebody said something last week about ratings being up a little bit, too. So, I mean, so long as... the suits are kept happy. Eh.
Yeah, they're at a 6.2% right now.
That's a lot better than some of the earlier Kamen Rider stuff. Like, when you think of that, Ryuki was averaging 3.4, I think.
It's a different time slot, though, I think, also. It wasn't on Sunday morning then yet, I believe, right?
And it was 10 years ago. So.
Yeah. Actually, the thing is, 10 years ago, ratings were usually generally higher, right, than they are nowadays.
Okay, I don't know how ratings work.
Yeah, it's always kind of in a decline.
It's a miracle I haven't been picked off by a wild animal by now.
Well,
I don't know how things work.
That's not how money works. You know how to feed yourself, right?
Barely. Time, what's that?
I guess we've seen photo evidence of that, so...
Oh, right. Every
food
fourth
challenges.
Week, something happens. So...
Anyway, to prove my point about how you can't even find it from the scalpers, take a look at this link. A week ago, that was only $82.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a lot for Greedon.
But Greedon isn't even out yet, is he?
It's the end of this month, I believe.
Hmm. But, and when he comes out, isn't a new wave of a new print run of them?
Usually ships in 4 to 5 days. I want to see them hold to that.
Yeah. I'm not holding my breath there.
I'm not going to throw down $143 to find out.
I guess you could say it's a bit nuts.
Oh.
I'm sorry. That one
internet,
I'm sorry about.
No, don't lie.
I'm
internet
not sorry
high five,
at all.
Giga. Internet high five there.
Yeah, now I'm sorry, though.
Yeah, see?
Yes.
Yeah, but... But doesn't Amazon, prices change depending on traffic and such? Now that he isn't even out.
It depends, for Amazon proper, yes. For other retailers selling through Amazon, they can charge whatever the fuck they want. Doesn't mean you have to pay for it, but they can charge whatever they want.
If you buy this Greedon, you're hardcore and you're probably a cool person.
Just keep telling people that.
I can't imagine what the prices will be for Kurakage now that people have to troop build him.
Oh, and then they release a gray belt version.
That'll probably be after Bravo for the web exclusives.
Well, we know Bravo's coming at some point, and that's great.
We know he might exist at some point. I just hope he actually transforms and everything.
Who?
Bravo.
As long as you can still swap the armor, I'll be happy.
Because based on the show CG, they might have to cheat a little bit to get his armor to work properly in the arms change. A
little bit.
No, yeah. And I think someone on 2chan drew up a schematic for how it could work, but it's like very many pieces. It's going to be interesting.
Yes.
I think that pretty much sums up Bravo. Interesting.
Interesting is a good word.
Yeah. He's the best.
Special? Different?
I want his packaging down one side will say Mr. Dangerous.
It has to. I really want a DX version of the Acorn Hammer.
Well, they've got
apparently there's an inflatable version, but I don't think that's what you want.
It's... Well... No.
No, not in that way.
I didn't say anything.
You don't have to. This is superhero time.
I know.
And on that note, let's just take a short break here, and we'll come back with Power Playback.
I have to go pee.
Superhero time.
Well, it's clear you're not all aboard for this.
Ruining jokes for everyone.
Count Dragon and his legion of mutant marauders seek to enslave Earth. Who will save us? Mask Rider, the powerful and awesome teenage hero from outer space with his incredible battle cycle, the Combat Chopper. And when he transforms into Masked Rider Super Gold, not even the evil Cycloptor can stand in his way for long. Masked Rider from Bandai.
It's time for Power Playback. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
So now to get things rolling back on track, it's time for Power Playback.
How did you end up with this episode?
Well, originally I was going to pick a Car Ranger episode, but then the YouTube crackdown happened again and most of the other stuff I had was lost, and I didn't think there'd be time to get one together before the show, since I kind of put this at the last minute, so I thought of What's a Troubled Production, and hey, Lost Galaxy.
Oh, okay. What's a Troubled Production? That fits us.
Here I was hoping we watched some demo.
Well, we got another week for that. They already picked that out.
Yes.
So, I'll have Barricade go ahead with the summary of this, and Hank can tell us why it's wrong in every possible way.
Oh, joy. Let me get Netflix loaded up.
Has anyone else watched Gingaman?
Sadly, not much of it is available subtitled.
I've seen several episodes, like, 15 years ago. Although
I do like the English version of the theme song.
Yeah, they were all raw, so I haven't seen any of it actually in full with good quality or with subtitles or anything like that.
Hang on, somebody subbed it up to episode 35.
Really? I somehow missed that.
I know we watched the Versus movie a while back, but all I really remember is the flying acorn.
We try not to talk about him. He's like the stupid plant from Majoranger.
Yeah, Mandora Boy.
That's one of the reasons we haven't done much Maji Ranger.
Well, that and TV Nihon subs being the only option.
Yeah.
Because I cannot make it through Maji Ranger because I had enough Vico's Arimasu.
Okay, fair enough.
And Kachan and Otosan and... fucking Maji Ranger.
It's a subgroup called HNT. I'm trying to find it.
So this episode starts out with Trakina looking into a magic mirror, saying the usual spiel, who's the fairest of them all.
And of course the mirror says,
not you.
This is back when Trakina was still useless.
Yes, which was like two-thirds of the series, really.
Basically.
So she decides to hit the mirror, have the monster come out, and go steal some people's beauty from Terra Venture. And, of course, the monsters decide to start out with yellow and pink.
Well, no, they didn't get them until much later in the episode.
Oh. Then it started... I thought...
Random people at first.
Random people who I mistaked for them.
Apparently.
Yellow and pink do tend to fade into the background a bit on the show.
Not necessarily their fault. Unless one of them is dying.
Or topless, but that's another story.
Or corona.
Well, anyway, the monster starts attacking some random schmucks when all of a sudden the Galaxy Rangers show up and decide to fight it.
As they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, with the beauty stolen, Trakina decides to go down to Terra Venture.
And she changes her look.
Because apparently people wouldn't like the bug on her head.
She then proceeds to have a bit of a montage where men fall head over heels for her and just follow her around everywhere.
And that's not creepy at all.
Yes.
No, not at all.
Until she heads to the bar where Bulk and Phenomenus are.
I want to mention one thing about this scene. Paul Schreier's line about "we got canned," somehow that didn't strike me as acting.
Yeah, I kind of picked up on that too.
When you consider this is one of four, maybe five episodes they're in the entire series, you don't see them again after this point until the last couple episodes.
Yeah.
Paul Schreier actually used to post to Out.Fan Power Rangers back in the day, around this time, too. And you could get the feeling, even back then, it was like, wow, this is not that dumb. Sorry, we're done. So, yeah, I don't think that was much acting.
But that's Lost Galaxy in general.
Yeah.
So, anyway, while there, she also runs into the MAGA Defender and flirts with him a bit.
A bit.
And she mentions that she's new around here on a space station in the middle of the galaxy.
Yes, but before that, Mike asks if she lives around here. I'm like, dude, Mr. Second in Command of the space station. Dude.
Second in the command was absent for, 15 episodes and nobody questioned it?
Even when
he still got his job back when he came out of the crevice?
And when he asks them about it and doesn't give them an explanation, he's like, okay.
So he takes her back.
Security.
Oh, shit.
Picard would never fly with that.
Go take a 6-month vacation? Shit.
So wait, he disappears and then comes back. Sorry, I didn't watch a lot of Lost Galaxy.
Yeah,
he
quote unquote dies like Hyuga did, mm-hmm. And then he comes back and just gets his job, and he's just giving his job back. He even asked him like I can't really tell you what happened. He's like, okay.
Also, in his final battle, he can apparently breathe in space.
Ah, yes. After he loses his powers.
Yes.
But in Power Rangers, you can breathe on the moon anyway.
True enough.
So space is just kind of weird out there.
So anyway, he takes them back to meet the other Rangers, and the boys are all dumbstruck. However, Trakina's more focused on the girls and their beauty. Interpret that as you will.
It's mostly Maya, because it's always Maya. Even she knows it.
Well, Maya kind of has the savage thing going on.
Yeah, she's got the Leela thing going on.
Anyway, suddenly the Rangers have to depart, but it's alright because the Magna Defender and Trakina are going to come with them.
Oh, John.
And they almost get hit by a steel beam. Unfortunately, they dodged it.
Wait, unfortunately?
Like Leo even says, you need to work on your aim. I'm like, dude, do you want to crush you?
Anyway, that's when the monster shows up again and decides to steal the pink and yellow Ranger's beauty.
Trakina's not.
And he also wants to steal Trakina's, but she kind of signals him not to.
She's very bad at this job.
Yes.
Anyway, the monster steals the two girls' beauty by turning their faces yellow and purple, because apparently that means lack of beauty.
Apparently, those are the ugliest colors in the universe, then.
He then takes their beauty, which is now sand, and puts it in a bottle as the other Rangers morph to fight her, to fight him, but he just sends out some troops. I think they're called Stingwingers?
Yes. I believe those are one of the few American foot soldiers, too.
Well, back then, they used to do that a lot. They did it in Turbo, they did it in Space, they did it in Lost Galaxy, and then when they went to Lightspeed Rescue, they went back to Sentai Trip Mooks.
Until Dino Thunder, I want to say.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. Then you got the Dinosaur Stingwingers. Because they were kind of similar.
Because he realized how stupid the Abba Ranger foot soldiers looked.
Yep.
Well, I didn't mind them not using the Gingaman troops, because those guys would not have fit later on.
They did later on when they get to the pirates.
They made a cameo appearance, but they weren't regularly used.
Well, it wasn't cameo. They called them. They were called the Swabbies, and they were in the episodes where they were in the Lost Galaxy.
Yeah, they were the Captain Mutiny's troops, and that was what a good half dozen episodes or so.
Everyone just remembers them for the name Swabbies.
Basically.
Sorry.
Trakina and Black Knight. That's what he's calling Japan. Magna Defenders storm off in a rage while the Rangers take the others back to base, I guess.
By base, you mean their apartment.
Yeah.
Not like the megaship, which has medical facilities or anything on that and has Alpha. No, they just take them back to their rooms. Sure. Why not? They say they didn't have the light budget for the megaship that day.
Trakina decides it's time to poison the Magna Defender and put some poison in his drink. And, of course, like an idiot, he drinks it and falls down. But it turns out it was a trick.
So he's not a total idiot.
Just a bit of an idiot.
Well, it's Space Tank. It's hard to avoid Space Tank.
What? Anyway, he then...
What does that even mean?
Just go with it, Giga.
Well, he's kind of right, but anyway.
He's got to get through this.
Yep. While he was out, the monster came up and gave the beauty to Trakina, but the Magna Defender comes in and swipes it.
Because he realized that the monster didn't attack her. So again, he's not a total idiot.
Oh, just everybody else is.
He then proceeds to pour it out onto the ground.
I was expecting
hopefully
it
hopefully that'll work. Go ahead.
I was expecting him to pour it on himself so he would be the prettiest.
The most beautiful man in all of whatever the place is called.
Peradventure.
Right. That would have been great.
I'm not going to make corrections for the galaxy.
But yes, he pours it on the ground, which removes the girl's face paint and suddenly makes them feel better.
Hooray. Because, of course, you know, they can't fight unless they're beautiful. What kind of message does that send?
Women episode, are the worst.
This episode is full of unfortunate messages for children. Or society in general, actually.
Then we get a fight.
Which was usually the shortest and weakest part of Lost Galaxy.
Well, it depends. Is it Gingaman footage, or is it Koichi Sakamoto directing?
Some of it is Gingaman footage.
So, because normally the episodes where you could tell it was Sakamoto doing it directly, they turned out pretty well.
They're fighting in a forest, so I assume it's Gingaman.
Well, it's both, actually. It's Lost Galaxy footage up until Pink and Magna Defender are fighting.
The space colony has forests in it. It's so they can use the Gingaman nature footage.
Right.
Well, it does make kind of sense, you know, for oxygen reclamation and all that, I guess. And
that actually reminds me, earlier in the episode when Bolt said they're out of burgers, I wonder if that means, like, the entire space station is out of burgers. It's like, well, that's...
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
I imagine it's just that they needed to butcher some more cows, but regardless...
No, the whole space station is out of burgers.
Yeah, that's what I like to imagine. It's like... Mike wasted the last burger on this fucking space station. Good job, Mike, you asshole.
But yeah, they fight the monster, kill it, it grows big, they fight it with the Megazord, and kill it again.
Wait. When they defeat it, they say your wrapping days are over? Why didn't they go, time to wrap it up? That would have made sense.
Well, the Mummy is basically a Darkstalkers reject, so you really can't expect the best from
it. I'm sorry.
No, Paladin wasn't writing the script. The puns wouldn't have been that good.
And apparently at one point during this fight scene, the Red and Blue Rangers can summon the Lights of Orion on their own, which they should not be able to do by their own rules from previous episodes.
I think the implication is, because you see Pink with the armor a scene later, is that they all did it, just three of them were off screen. No.
Because why?
Yeah, because it's Lost Galaxy and what is consistency. No, seriously, like, it's stupid, too, because there are some episodes of Lost Galaxy I really enjoy. And there are parts of Lost Galaxy I really enjoy, but it is the most inconsistent, all-over-the-place, plot-holy thing in the entire franchise. And considering this Power Rangers, that's saying a lot.
And that's just because of the Nightmare production.
Yeah.
A lot of the scripts didn't get, you know, proofread or pre-approved before filming, and I remember in at least one case, an episode hadn't finished shooting, like, days before it was supposed to air.
Yeah. This is why sometimes when the promos and episode previews were cut, it would end up looking a little weird. There's a reason that I don't think the episode previews are on anything now.
Yes.
So, one dead monster later, we're back inside, and Magnum Defender is showing the other guys a cheap magic trick. They then walk in on the girls doing makeup and freak out because they think, oh no, they've turned ugly again. But nope, they're just using makeup. They then proceed to put some makeup on Green's bald head.
More unfortunate implications.
Okay. Yes.
Anyway.
Back to the villains. Trakina's dad has decided, okay, it's time for you to get in the cocoon and become ugly. But she doesn't want that.
No, so she bitches out.
Is this cocoon thing a normal thing?
Well, it's supposedly for her species. She's supposed to go in there, lose her human looks, and become more powerful.
Become like Scorpius, basically. Yeah.
It's space puberty.
Basically.
Wait, she transforms into that?
Not quite, because...
She transforms into feminine Shin.
Actually, it's worse than that. At the end of the series, she and Deviant get tossed into the thing at the same time, and she becomes a fusion of herself and Deviant and becomes, female Shin. I'm not joking. We're not joking.
Shin with boobs. I can't imagine that.
There's something for your SIC line.
There's somebody somewhere that's probably into that.
You can almost hear it being scribbled down now, Rule 34 for DeviantArt.
I think that's Rule 64? 66? When you gender bend something.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
The fact that he knows that it is correcting us on that.
34 is the porn rule. If it exists, there's porn of it.
Yeah, and then there's one where...
And there she is, just for reference.
Oh, God! You're right, it is Shin with boobs.
Intro quote.
But yeah, sorry about that summary. I decided to watch Gaim again instead of Lost Galaxy again.
Good choice.
I don't think anyone can blame you on that.
So still, it redeems itself a little bit because the episode directly after this is one of the best in Lost Galaxy and probably all of Power Rangers, too.
Of course, we couldn't discuss that.
We already discussed that.
Oh. Well, you suck.
Yes.
Damn you, pal.
Well, like I said, it could have been overdrive, so let's just enjoy what we got.
So, how exactly does this differ from Ginga Man?
Well, Ginga Man, this is episode 27.
For one thing, Ginga Man looks a lot worse on the DVDs. Yes, it does.
The episode in Japan, like because they didn't have to deal with Trakina. So really, it was the monster that turned into the girl? Into the pretty girl?
Oh, God, really?
Really?
Oh, God. No.
And, that's another horrifying implication.
She turns into, like, this cute little Japanese schoolgirl.
Oh, that's even worse!
And basically, the episode starts off with Hyuga and the chick, whose name I can't remember.
Naya?
Saya, yeah. Saya. And they're talking about, the other guys are making fun of her, saying that how she's crushing on Hyuga. And all she claims she sees him as just a really capable senior warrior. And so they go out and fight the monster and everything. And Hyuga goes off with the young girl that obviously is... They think that the monster's going to attack this young girl because the monster, you know, the tentacle-y thingies attacked her. And they saved her. And so she sticks with him. And Saya starts getting really jealous, saying that, oh, you know, he's being silly, you know, he's not actually searching for the monster and everything. Because Hyuga goes, oh, I'll defend the girl, you guys just do your thing. Subsequently, you find out that the girl is the monster, and she tries to poison him, and he pretends to go down, but doesn't, and it turns out it's because Saya used her, because all the Ginga Man have civilian powers,
right,
and used her powers to change to get rid of the poison from the drink. And it was supposedly because Hugo already knew this and had told her beforehand and blah, blah, blah. And then they both attack the monster. They attack the monster escapes and then goes for the girl that it actually took the form of. So that girl is actually a real girl and tries to attack her. And Hugo and Saya stop it, and it goes with that more or less same battle at the end. And then when they say farewell to the girl tells Hyuga that he's quite cute, runs off, and he's like smiling, and Saya just elbows him and decides. So, throughout in Gingaman, you get this idea that there's kind of a romance thing going between them, but it never really comes to fruition. And I guess that starts from, because he's just only become Kurokushi at this point.
So was it better or worse?
I personally thought it was a better episode, because it was more about the characters themselves. And I really don't watch enough Lost Galaxy to say that it's any better, but the acting in Lost Galaxy is really bad.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It's not one of their stronger quotes, although Lost Galaxy contains the only actor who's actually gone on to something else regularly from Power Rangers.
Oh, well, I don't know. Adelaide Kane, if that's how you pronounce it, is doing pretty well for herself now.
From Jungle Fury?
No, RPM.
Okay, then. So I guess that's a little debatable now.
She's the star of her own show now, and she's got a supporting role on another show.
Mystic Force, the actor who played Red, and then the actress who played Blue, they're quite popular now. The actress who played Blue is part of a series called Winners and Losers. It's a kind of a romantic comedy. And the guy who played Red is on... He's been in a lot of stuff, but his most recent thing is where he plays a deadbeat dad.
One thing I've noticed is that, like, the Disney New Zealand actors seem to do much better afterwards than any of the Saban actors did, for the most part. Because I will occasionally hear much more about them, even if it's only like, by, like, hearsay and this, that, here and there, but you never hear anything about the Saban actors after the fact. Hardly. Unless you're Johnny Young Bosch or Jason David Frank.
What about the actress who played Kimberly? Isn't she in, like, stuff as well?
She was for a time.
Stuff not being a very good catch-all.
She had some music albums, I think, too.
Yeah, and she had a role in a drama on the WB for a while. But that was, you know, 15 years ago at this point.
It was WB.
Yeah.
And then there's also Maya from Lost Galaxy, who is famous for entirely different reasons.
Let's not go into that.
So yes, if you want to see more of that, just rent Not Another Teen Movie.
Or don't.
Don't.
Oh.
Yeah, or don't, because it's kind of a piece of shit.
Wait a minute, that was her?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It's just Dawn on Dawn. What's going on?
Well, I didn't put the name of the name of the person with the actress. I didn't make the connection.
Yes.
I thought it was just another random clips that our mutual friend threw up.
That's the only reason anyone remembers that movie now, though.
Well, that's two very good reasons to remember that movie.
Well, I can't deny that factor. So, next week on Superhero Time, the regular cast should, for better or worse, be back to action, and we'll be doing episodes 9 and 10 of Denno. the introduction of Kintaros, if we can bear it.
There's nothing wrong with that episode.
I see
really
what
good.
You did there.
I will end you.
Yeah, you don't even have my support on that one.
Keep making puns like those next episode, and I'll be very happy.
Oh,
XB will boot him from the fucking hall. If he doesn't do it himself. Again.
I wasn't booted. I was still online and listening, and nobody could hear anything.
Same difference.
I'm just a sucker for bear puns because of Persona.
Okay, fair point.
I thought of Bear Guy 3 from Build Fighters when you said that.
Yeah. Paladin might become unbearable.
What do you mean, might?
Hasn't it already
well, been? And what do you mean, become?
What do you mean, bear?
I guess you'll just have to grin and bear it.
Next week's going to get grisly.
On a final note, we should all wish a happy belated birthday to XV, our honored founder.
Honored.
Who unleashed this horror upon the world.
That was his birthday gift to the world. Eternal suffering.
He started around his birthday, didn't he? Shit.
Well, here's the sad thing. This is one of the highlights of my week.
What?
So sorry.
SHT?
Yeah, well, RFC and SHT are two of the highlights of my week.
You have a cat. The cat should be an eternal highlight for your life.
I'm in fear of my life every day. That doesn't count.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
I think that's pretty much it for the official show, and now we're just doing the, you know, come down. I'm not sure how much else of this will make it in, if any.
Well, I had fun. Literally, these two shows were my highlights of the week.
Yeah, it's fun. I sit in front of my computer all the time anyway, so.
And we're glad you could join us, even if it is kind of a new experience.
Oh, this is great. This was great. Thanks for having me, actually.
Well, it is always nice to have somebody else that does know about where some of these shows come from.
I have to admit, though, Lost Galaxy was quite painful.
I cannot go back and watch much PR anymore. I just can't.
There are some seasons that I think hold up okay.
SPD, Dino Thunder, RPM.
Time Force.
Sometimes space, but even then, sometimes not.
Certain bits of Jungle Fury?
Only if it involves...
RJ.
Yeah, RJ. Everybody else can go suck a dick.
Well, RPM was the only Power Ranger series since In Space that I watched the entire season of. Because I really liked it. Because I really didn't like Gohanja that much.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's brave.
Well, I mean, people have opinions. Oh, yeah. But if you don't like if you like Carnage, that's not necessarily a thing. It's just...
Carnage is a parody of Super Sentai, whereas Gohanja was just trying to be funny because it was coming... What was before it?
Geki.
Yeah. Because I think it was that period where Super Sentai was just becoming silly. You look
but then again, you had Shinkenger the next year, and that was hardly silly. So,
yeah, but just
go on.
That
was just fun.
But again, you know, everybody has their opinions.
I still would definitely say RPM is better than Go Onger.
I will be honest; I did not like Go Onger that much until I started on this show. I've learned to appreciate it since.
Like Geki Ranger, I watched on and off, and I think I only finished watching Geki Ranger when I was watching Gohanja. And I just thought that these two series probably weren't that fantastic.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Geki Ranger either.
Geki, I...
Also because I still want to punch Jan in the fucking face.
Geki's problem is I want to watch it for Ryo and Melee. I don't give a shit about the main three.
I've only seen a few episodes of Geki. I want to watch more, but I just haven't gotten to it yet. Like so many other things.
Ran and, Retsu are fucking boring as hell. And John is just so unbearable.
But when you look at the villains, they're so much more interesting. It's not common you get the Super Sentai where the villains are just so interesting you don't care about the lead characters.
Yeah. But that is Ryo and Melee. It's
Melee in that dress, oh my god.
But I think in they basically count as Super Sentai members as a Gokaiger, so
I really enjoy Gokaiger, and I have to say I agree with you guys that it, on its own, without having watched Go Seiger before, it would have been fine.
Oh yeah, Gokaiger. I mean, I didn't really watch Go Seiger, so I started to watch Go Seiger, and after Shinkenger, I'm like, nope.
And Gokaiger's awesome, even if you don't get every single reference point in it.
Yeah, I've actually seen people turned on to Super Sentai just from Gokaiger. Actually, the other week when I was in Vegas, I was briefly at Otakon Vegas. It's a much smaller convention than its Baltimore counterpart, but it's only its first year. Regardless, at one of the late night panels talking about relations between American media and Japanese media, he just randomly put up the first scene from Gokaiger, and there were so many people in the audience that had never experienced it before that freaked the fuck out.
Oh, wow.
That's the legendary war scene, right? So I could see why people would glue onto that right away.
They did. It's straight up through where everybody, blew up the Zangyak fleet. And it was fun to just see people in person literally losing their shit over that scene.
I lost my shit when I first saw that scene. It was very
everybody
well
lost their shit when they first saw that scene.
And that's the thing. Are they refilming the Legendary Wars for Super Mega?
Yep.
They have to cut out the non-American suits.
But they keep showing Dark Victor in their promos.
I know.
Yeah.
We know. Trust us.
Technically, it's Morpher appeared in Power Rangers.
It's Morpher actually appeared in the episode we discussed. It was Magna Defender's Morpher.
I was looking at it for the longest time going, I've seen that Morpher somewhere. Why? Wait a minute.
Super Hero Time! 来週もよろしくな。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.